pricing guidelines with respect to the documents to be taken by the AD bank, they shall be guided by their board approved policy, which may either provide for taking into consideration the valuation as per the internationally acceptable pricing methodology. AD bank shall put in place the board approved policy. Such a policy should provide the scenario where valuation may not be insisted upon. Transfer on account of merger and amalgamation or demerger or liquidation, where the price has been approved by the competent core tribunal as per the law in India or the host jurisdiction, or price is readily available on recognized stock exchange. Transfer of liquidation. Now, transfer or liquidation. The person resident in India holding the equity capital can transfer the investment, where transferor is required to repatriate all the dues before disinvestment. Such a requirement shall not apply the dues and do not arise account of investment in equity or debt like export incentives. Now, restructuring. Restructuring means restructuring of the foreign entity where investment is made. Now, the person who is a resident in India who has made an overseas direct investment in the foreign entity may permit restructuring of the balance sheet by such a foreign entity in accordance with the rule number 18 of overseas investment rule. The rule states that the aggregate investment in both equity and debt of the foreign entity shall be taken into consideration for computation of proportionate amount of accumulated losses. In case of restructuring involves only equity and investment, only equity, the investment only in equity of the foreign entity may be taken into consideration for computation of proportionate losses. For that reason, a certificate is required to be furnished which can maintain the amount of accumulated losses as per the audited balance sheet and many other information. These provisions shall not be used where the assets are simply valued in the books of the Indian entity without any restructuring of the balance sheet of the foreign entity. Opening of the foreign currency account abroad by the Indian entity is freely permitted. An Indian entity may open, hold, and maintain the foreign currency account abroad for the purpose of making overseas direct investment. Now, obligation of the person who is a resident in India. What is the person who makes an investment and his obligation? A person who is a resident in India making overseas direct investment in the company shall meet the obligation number one, equity, the capital in the foreign entity, which is reckoned as a ODI, and shall submit the evidence of investment within 6 months from the date of making the investment. Okay? If this is not submitted, then failing of which, the funds remitted to the overseas shall be repatriated back within 6 months' time. That is within the first 6 months' time from the date of investment. Now, the evidence of investment shall be retained by the designated AD bank and need not be sent to Reserve Bank of India. It can be monitored by them. form financial commitment must be submitted along with the requisite document to AD Bank for obtaining the unique identification number, that is UIN. Okay, and AD Bank, after due verification, shall report the details in the ODI application for the allotment of UIN. Any remittance towards the foreign entity shall be facilitated by the AD Bank only after obtaining the necessary UIN for such entity. And the allotment of UIN does not constitute an approval from the Reserve Bank of India. The issue of UIN only signifies that the investment proposal has been taken on the record of the investment for maintaining the database. Reporting requirement. All reporting with respect of the overseas investment by a person resident in India shall be made through a designated AD Bank as per the revised reporting forms and the instruction. Any incomplete filing shall be treated as non-submission. Any acquisition of the foreign securities with the conversion of Indian depository receipt, that is IDR, shall be duly reported in ODI as or OPI as applicable. Annual performance report, that is APR, shall be certified by the chartered accountant where statutory auditors are not applicable, including the cases of, in case of resident individual also, where APR, annual performance report, is required to be filed jointly, either one investor may authorized by other investor for filing the APR, for such a person may jointly find the APR also. Resident individual making investment must comply with the reporting requirement. It is a responsibility of resident individuals, right? Then acquisition of the foreign security by way of inheritance or gift shall not be recorded towards liberalized remittance scheme limit and hence shall not require reporting under LRS. Delay in reporting. In case of person resident in India has made delay in filing this and submitting the return or document, such a person may file the requisite form or return along with the late submission fee through the designated AD Bank. LSF, that is late submission fee delay in reporting of overseas investment related, is by using this matrix. Now, this late submission fee amount, how you will calculate? The example is given by the Reserve Bank of India. In similar manner, it should be computed. Form ODI Part 2, then APR, annual performance report, then FLA return, that is annual report by the company which is filing the return directly to the Reserve Bank. Then form OPI. OPI means Overseas Portfolio Investment. And evidence of investment or any other return which does not capture the flow or any other periodical reporting. If there is a default in these things, then it attracts the late submission fee of rupees 7,500. In addition to that, if the form ODI Part 1, form ODI Part 3, form FC, or any other return which captures the flow of return, which captures reporting non-fund based transaction, any other transaction reporting that is to be calculated, like 7,500 plus 0.25% into A into L. What is the A stands for and N stands for? N stands for number of years. N stands for number of years, and A stands for what? Amount involved in delayed reporting. And this LSF amount is per return. Means everyone, suppose you have not submitted monthly return, then every month this will amount will be going to increase. So maximum LSF amount that will be limited to the 100% of A. What is A means? A is the amount involved in delayed reporting. Okay, where an advice has been issued for the payment of late submission fee, such a late submission fee is not paid within 30 days, such an advice shall not be considered to be null and void, and any late submission fee received beyond this period shall not be accepted by the Reserve Bank of India. Okay, if applicant subsequently approaches for the payment of LSF for the same or delayed reporting, the date of receipt of such application shall be treated as reference date for the purpose of calculation of late submission fee. This is the some guidelines which are issued for calculation of late submission of fee. Late submission fee can be paid by way of demand draft, which is drawn in favor of Reserve Bank of India and payable at the regional office of concern, Reserve Bank of India office, according with the UIN which is mapped and given in the table, given in the table below. The table I have not inserted here, that is available in your text. Now, restriction on further financial commitment or transfer or prohibition. AD Bank shall not facilitate any transaction in respect of any foreign entity which is engaged in the activities which are located, activities and the located in the country's jurisdiction as advised by the central government from time to time. It is clarified that financial product linked to the Indian rupee shall be included in non-deliverable trades involving the foreign currency, Indian rupee exchange rates, stock indices, which is linked to Indian market. The financial commitment by a person resident in India, okay, person resident in India in a foreign entity that has invested or invest into India at the time of making such a financial commitment or at any time thereafter, either directly or indirectly, resulting into structure where more than two layers of subsidiaries are not permitted. It is provided that further layer of subsidiary or subsidiaries shall be added to any structure existing with two or more layers of subsidiaries post notification of these OIS regulations. It may be noted by the concern that the subsidiary of the foreign entity shall have the meaning providing OIC, overseas investment rule, that an entity in which the foreign entity has a control which includes the stake of 10% or more in entity as per the overseas investment rule. Now, financial commitment by Indian entity. An Indian entity within the overall limit make the financial commitment by way of ODI, financial commitment by way of the debt and non-fund-based financial commitment. In case of the swap of securities, both the legs, swapping one leg, another leg, swap of the shares, okay? Transaction shall comply with the FEMA provision. In case of investment in foreign entity by registered partnership firm, it will be in order if the individual partner to hold the share for and on behalf of the firm in the foreign entity, if the host country regulation doesn't have any objection and operational requirement warrants such holding. Further, this financial commitment by way of a debt, that means loan, AD bank shall facilitate an outward remittance towards the financial commitment by way of debt only after obtaining the necessary agreement document for ensuring that bona fides of the transaction, and that Indian entity shall not lend directly to its overseas step-down subsidiary. Further, a resident individual shall not make any financial commitment by way of debt. With respect to the financial commitment by way of guarantee, the performance guarantee, time specified for the completion of the contract shall be treated as its validity period. No prior approval from the Reserve Bank of India is required. Any guarantee to the extent of the amount involved shall cease to be a part of the non-fund-based finance commitment, but will be considered as a financial commitment by way of debt. Such invocation shall be reported in the form FC. Rollover of the guarantee shall not be treated as a fresh issuance of the guarantee. However, such a rollover shall be reported in form FC. Group company of the Indian entity may extend a guarantee in accordance with the overseas investment regulation if such a group company is eligible to make overseas direct investment as per overseas investment rule, and such a guarantee shall be counted towards the utilization of the financial commitment limit of such a group company and shall be reported by group company or concern. In case of the resident individual promoter, the same shall be counted towards the financial commitment limit. The concept of utilizing the net worth of subsidiary or holding company by the Indian entity has been discontinued henceforth. Otherwise, earlier that time, it was financial commitment should not be more than 400% of net worth of the Indian company. That has been scrapped out. And now, for the computing this financial commitment limit, the group company or any fund-based exposure of such a group company to the Indian entity or to the Indian entity to such a group company, as the case may be, shall be deducted from the net worth of such a group company. Provisions relating to the financial commitment by way of pledge charge, etc. is regulated, and that can be summarized here as under. Now, the security by Indian entity. What is the kind of security? Pledge the equity capital of the foreign entity and its step-down subsidiary outside India. For that, where, in whose favor it is given, AD bank or public financial institution in India or an overseas lender. And for what type of, no objection certificate I'm talking about. Then in whose favor, in facility, what kind of facility? The fund and non-fund based facilities for Indian entity, okay, and amount recourse towards the financial commitment is nil. Okay, it means the security is created for availing the facility in favor of the AD bank or public financial institution, then it cannot be considered as a financial commitment. Okay. Second, fund or non-fund based facility for any foreign entity or its step-down subsidiaries, if they are availing this facility, the value of the pledge or the amount of the facility, whichever is less, that can be considered. Debenture trustee registered with SEBI in India, if they are in favor of debenture or trustee registered in SEBI in India, then it is a fund-based facility for Indian entity, if it is availed by them, then there is no requirement of reckoning of the financial commitment. Similar manner, it creates a charge on its assets other than shares and debentures in India, including the asset of its group company or associate company, promoters or direct. When it is considered as a financial commitment or not, when this is in favor of, security is created in favor of AD bank or public financial institution in India, and the facility is availed by the fund-based or non-fund-based facility, okay, for an foreign entity and its SDS, step-down subsidiary outside India, the value of the charge of the amount of this facility, whichever is less, that can be considered as a security, as a financial commitment. Similarly, for overseas or Indian lender, fund or non-fund-based facility which is given, then in that case, amount reckoned towards the financial commitment is nil. Next one is a create a charge on the assets which are outside India. Assets are outside India of the foreign entity and its step-down subsidiary outside India. Then the charge can be, then facility can be provided to an AD bank in India or a public financial institution in India. Facility to avail the fund and non-fund based facility for any foreign entity, and the value of the charge or the amount to the facility, whichever is less, that can be reckoned for the purpose of understanding the financial commitment by the Indian entity. Debenture trustee registered with the SEBI in India, if security is registered in their favor and facility availed is a fund-based facility for Indian entity only, then it is not to be considered as the financial commitment, as a financial commitment by Indian entity. So friends, that is what I have expressed here, exclusively explained here, the value of the pledge of charge. Then overseas lender, or maybe creation and enforcement of such a pledge, that is clearly stipulated in this table which is explained here. The assets on which the charge is being created are not securitized. Okay? Period for charge, if not specified upfront, shall be coterminous with the period of facility for which the charges has been created. And in the event of enforcement of such a charge created on the domestic assets, such a domestic asset shall be transferred by way of sale. Transferred by way of sale to a person resident in India only. Where creation of the charge involves the pledge of the shares of an Indian company in favor of overseas lender, the pledge shall also be governed by the extent of FEMA regulations. Provision which is pertaining to overseas direct investment in financial service sector activity consists of, if Indian entity is engaged in the financial service sector activity, then overseas direct investment in foreign entity engaged in the financial service sector activity, both are engaged in the financial service sector activity, then subject to the financial commitment limit, reporting and documentation as per the overseas investment rules, regulation and other applicable provision consist of, one, subject to the provision of contained in para 2.1 of the schedule 1 of overseas investment rule, where such an investment is in IFSC, the requisite approval of the financial service regulators have been obtained. But if the ODI in foreign entity, which is not engaged in financial service activity, but Indian entity is engaged in the financial service activity, in that scenario, the subject to guideline issued by the respective regulators, that one has to act upon. Now, another condition here, Indian entity is not engaged in financial service sector activity. And ODI in foreign entity, which is engaged in the financial service sector activity, except the banking and insurance. Then in that case, the Indian entity is permitted to make the overseas investment, provided the Indian entity has posted net profit during preceding three financial year. However, an Indian entity not meeting 3 years profitability condition may make such a overseas direct investment in foreign entity in IFSC in India. But situation is like this: if the foreign entity is not engaged in general and health insurance, Indian entity is not engaged in the financial service sector activity, apart from the 3 years profitability criteria that can be waived, insurance business is supporting the core activity undertaken by overseas for such an Indian entity, for instance, health insurance and support medical hospital business, vehicle insurance to support the manufacturing export or the common vehicle, etc. Okay, for them it is permitted, there is no restriction. Finally, the Indian entity, if the overseas investment in any sector by the bank or non-banking financial institution regulated by the Reserve Bank of India shall subject to other condition as may be stipulated by the regulatory department concerned of the Reserve Bank of India. And D is the foreign entity will be considered to be engaged in the business of the financial service sector activity if it is undertakes an activity which is carried out by an entity in India requires the registration with or regulated financial sector regulator in India. So limit of the financial commitment shall be governed by this overseas investment rule. Utilization of the balances which are held in EEFC account and the amount raised by the issue of American deposit receipt, that is ADR, GDR or GDR stock swap for making the financial commitment shall also be reckoned towards the financial commitment limit. Financial commitment is very important and it is made through such a resources prior to the date of notification of this, then it shall be required to be regularization. Where the proceeds from the external commercial borrowing, that is ECB, are utilized for making the financial commitment, the same shall be reckoned towards the financial commitment limit. However, only that part of the ECB shall be reckoned towards the financial commitment limit that exceeds the amount of the corresponding pledge or creation of the charge on assets which has already been counted towards the financial commitment limit.